Yeah, I'm having the exact same problem everyone's having. I can never catch up. Like, I just can't be productive enough.
You know, Matt, to be more productive, you got to throw away your to-do list.
Wait, what? That's a provocative idea. Matt Robeson, Mike Morton, Financial Life Planning. We're going to get into what did Mike just say? That's really counterintuitive, man. Oh, and by the way, you were just telling me before we started this show that at the end for our one thing segment, you want to give me, I think it might be the worst piece of productivity advice I've ever heard, but you're telling me it works for you. So we'll get to that at the end. But
There you go.
let's start on this. I feel like we've talked about on this show, keeping a to-do list. It's a productivity hack. And you're telling me, no, don't. There are a million voices of productivity hackers out there who suddenly cried out and were silenced. You've blown up Alderaan, man. What the hell?
No more to-do lists. No three things. Don't write down your biggest three things,
Oh,
in the
shoot.
morning and knock those out.
Oh, no.
Forget your whole to-do list.
No.
You know that thing is never ending anyway, Matt. You know your to-do list. Has it ever gotten to zero? Does it ever
This
finish?
is. What is this? Like, this is like the opposite of atomic habits. This is like coal habits.
That's right.
No, it's true. It's true. But I feel like that's kind of for me a feature rather than a bug. Like I put it on there and I know in advance. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself into your point of view as I go, because I put things on the list knowing I won't get to all of it. But hey, if I get through half of it, I'll feel pretty good.
You
So
feel, I
like.
mean, what, you feel like halfway good? Like, I mean, it was okay. Even though you knocked out like a million things, you kind of feel like, all right. So I got a better system for you where you can feel really good and have some space in between and get
All
stuff
right.
done.
All right,
All
hit
right.
me.
So here's the way to do it instead. And I've been having this conversation, Matt, with quite a few people. So it's kind of funny because I started implementing this system and it's been working really well. And then I was talking with some other people and they're like, oh yeah, I'm kind of doing something similar. So I thought I was like, oh man, this is kind of, everyone's coming together. But it's the idea of scheduling things onto your calendar instead of just having a random to-do list. Put things onto your calendar when you're going to do them. And that is the way to do
I have tried something like this. So what I used to do, because I'm obsessed with Microsoft Excel, this is like, you know how life is sort of what happens to you while you're making other plans, right? And you just kind of fall into stuff. Well, I got my first job out of college, I did a lot of Excel. Like I was doing a lot of kind of data processing and manipulation for an economic consulting firm. And so I just became kind of an Excel jockey. I really love Microsoft Excel. Like we should get a cut from the last 30 seconds. Hey, Bill Gates, pay me.
Sponsored by.
Yeah, exactly. What I was doing for a long time was I was keeping a to-do list in Excel. And then I tried your hack. I created a little calendar in Excel. And I said, all right, here's how I'm gonna do my day. And I would put things from my to-do list, like I brainstormed the to-do list, and then I put them into slots. And it sort of worked. It sort of didn't work. When you do this, does this work for you? Like, how do you do it? Like, walk me through your process.
All right, yeah, let's walk through the process and then we'll get into some nuances like how it's working out. So here's my actual process. And this could, again, it could be different for different people, but I use Apple, I use Macintosh, Apple. So I use the calendar there. And for me, I have meetings, like many of us do who work. So I have meetings kind of throughout the day, throughout the week that all get scheduled onto the calendar so I can see them. All right. And then what I'll do is, I will schedule my work in between those meetings, right? Or at different days. I have meetings generally in the middle of the week. So then I will schedule work. I'll put it into my digital calendar, like, oh, I need an hour on this. I need an hour and a half on this. And you notice I said hour and a half. Now I'm no longer scheduling like 15 or 30 minutes. Everything takes longer than you think. And I'll put it in there. And so then you get a visual representation of the calendar. And I was feeling kind of overwhelmed a month ago or two. And I started doing this and I realized that I was pushing work out 2, 3, 4 weeks. Like that's when I had the time to do the work. And so then you get this nice visual representation of how busy you are and how long things are going to take. And you can have better communication with yourself or with the team or with your clients about when you can actually get to the work. And over a few weeks, I was able to shrink things down, schedule it out, get it done, get through it, schedule things in the future, so that now I'm feeling much more relaxed about the work, and I know when everything is going to get done.
All right. So what do you do when you have time allotted for a task, like record show with Matt, and we think we're going to go for 45 minutes, but we only go for 35 minutes, and now you've got an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. So that happens a lot, right? You get the extra time, which feels great. So I overschedule like an hour or two. And this will happen today, Matt. So I usually do the other piece of this is chunking, time blocking, you know, is pretty popular. So yeah, I'll do marketing in my podcast, recording, editing, the marketing around it, all kind of at one go. And I will have an extra half an hour, or I'll have an extra hour, or little chunks, like you said, 15 minutes before a next meeting. Those are great times to do one of two things. One, knock out little annoying tasks that are not the big rocks, you know, but just the things that have to keep going. Check your email and do a quick 2-minute response, you know, knock out some small little item or, you know, whatever it is, check in on something. So you can knock out the little things. And I'll do a lot of that because we all have very, you know, lots of little tasks, 10 or 15 that you just have to do throughout the day. Or I'll get up and move around. It's a great chance to just take a mental break, move around. I'll go outside for a few minutes, grab a snack, something like that, just to separate like the mental work. I do everything in front of the computer. So the mental work from getting up, getting a little movement, getting a little sunlight in little chunks throughout the day.
What about the opposite problem? What if you are in something and it just runs over?
Yeah, I mean, that's why what I found is that I need to schedule longer chunks. That's why I said it's an hour and a half. Really, for me, it's like maybe three things, like the three rocks. Maybe it's three things that are getting done. Either I have two or three big meetings. My meetings are an hour and a half. So maybe I have a couple of those and I always have follow-up work, you know, after a meeting to capture the notes. Or I'm working on a client situation. So yeah, it's like, oh, I think it's only about 20 minutes. I just need to kind of review a couple things, send an email, you know, summarize, but it's always an hour. Get into it, uncover more things, be thorough. You know, it's back to your point too, Matt. One job at a time, every job is success. Just scheduling 2 to 3 things, get mentally deep on those work items, on those tasks, go all the way to the end, finish it, summarize it. Leave yourself some good notes for when you need to pick up that project the next day, the next week, the next month, but really get it done. And it feels way better to have longer chunks. And then, like you said, Matt, when you had those 10 or 15 minutes in between, that's when you're knocking out, oh, just the little things, moving them forward, you know, keeping them going.
All right. Can I offer what in Congress we would call a friendly amendment to your throw out your to-do list idea? Yeah. I see totally where you're coming from. And it does solve for one of the things that I found. I call it quantum time because I overcomplicate frickin' everything, as our longtime listeners know. It's like, you know, why use a $5 word when a $500 word would do? You know, and so I think about this in terms of, you know, you can't, there are only discrete amounts of time that you can break things into. And so if I find myself with an odd 13 minutes to go before my next thing, I never use it efficiently. And what really frosts me is what I set up for you a second ago, which is like, you know, I've got 13 minutes here. I've got 4 minutes here. I've got 19 minutes over here. And it just, the mental transition from one thing to another, it's like by the time I get myself all switched over, set up, it's not worth that efficiency gap. And there's only like a little bit of time to actually do the next task. I can't really get going. It's just not worth it. If I could gather up all those bits of time, I could probably find an hour in my day. And it's super frustrating. Like when I look at my overall schedule, it's like I have enough time in my week to do things. But in reality, because there are those little lost chunks, packets of time, I don't, and I fall behind. So yeah. I guess what I like about your idea is by taking the calendar method and blocking out and really overestimating a little bit, and or maybe being more realistic, is the way you would put it. It feels like it's a lot more aligned with one job at a time, every job a success, but it doesn't solve for my other problem, which is those little extra chunks. So here's my friendly amendment.
All right.
What if you take the calendar approach, but you don't entirely throw out the to-do list? What if you take the calendar approach for major items, for projects, but you have a to-do list of like, here are 5-minute tasks. Here are like little things that I can do with my extra time. That's a running list. You just knock them out as you go.
I love it. In fact, that's kind of what I do, Matt, to be honest. I've got, well, multiple systems, like your Excel system. I have a couple of different ones that I probably need to slim down, but where I keep track of those kinds of things. Like, oh, it's somebody's birthday. I want to like write them a nice message. Or it's like, oh, I need to check
You've
in.
Never with, you never sent me a message on my birthday. Never
that
once.
Is false. False statement. False statement.
Have I slandered you? Did I just slander you?
Exactly.
I'm going back to my text messages.
That's true. You check your text messages. It's probably in there. I swear. Speaking of birthdays coming up, Matt, birthdays or birthday parties, I should say.
Oh, I know. I'm very excited. You know, we might have to talk about this on the pod. We really
okay.
might.
Okay. All right. Might do that.
But, you know, that's a great example, too. Like, we've had a little planning going for that. And that's the kind of thing where you could get a lot done if you had a list of, here are my 10-minute tasks. Ooh, let's call it that, 10-minute tasks.
Unfortunately, your birthday party planning is not 10-minute tasks. They're hour chunks. I'd have put them in my calendar.
An hour, you're right. An hour is way optimistic. All right, go on.
So I love that.
You have a hybrid system.
Exactly. So we do, you know, we've got these little tasks like, oh, I got to transfer money at the bank. I got to write a check. I got to pay a bill. I mean, there's like a million of them. And so that's what I use those little in-between times is like, I check that system, your 10-minute task list, you know, you're running to-do items, but don't put on there anything that's longer than, I'll call it 2 minutes. Okay. Cause it's actually in reality 5 to 10 minutes. A 2-minute task is never exactly 2 minutes. So don't put anything longer. If it's longer than 2 minutes, so you get into it and you're like, oh yeah, I just got to do this quick thing. And you get into it and 1 minute later, you're like, oh wait, it's just, I got to do this. And then this, it's like, nope. Now you put it onto the calendar and you got to schedule that stuff.
You know, one of the most useful things that I ever did when I worked on Capitol Hill was take a time management course. There's actually,
that sounds like a great use of time.
Well, you just blew my mind. Hold on. I'm going to need to take a long sip of coffee here. And it was really valuable. It was a good investment. One of the key lessons, I'd say maybe the key lesson of the whole thing was batch tasks, because the most efficient thing to do, first of all, is have something cross your desk, whether it's physically or mentally or electronically, just one time. Don't do the thing that I do, I think a lot of us do, which is like, I look at an email. I'm not really ready to deal with that. So I'm going to mark it unread and deal with it later, except now I'm literally double doing the same mental effort that I started to do. So like batching your tasks is really, really useful. So again, I'm endorsing what you're saying. One thing that it suggests to me though, is I've been experimenting recently with a system that another colleague recommended to me called Notion. Boy, the Notion people could pay me. And it's like, it's document creation, it's calendaring, it's task listing, it's all of these things are integrated, and it's supposed to help gain you efficiency. And it hasn't gained me efficiency yet. And I think what it suggests to me is my Excel system could work. The Notion system could work. Like, you could do it all off your phone. That's probably efficient. There's probably apps, like literally apps. Notion has an app, you know, that can go on your phone. I think the most important thing is commit to one system. There's probably a lot of right answers out there, but you've got to actually commit to the system and use it for it to pay off.
Yeah. First of all, a few different things. Don't get enamored with like the shiny objects, the silver bullet. Oh, this app is going to save me. In the most unsexy stuff will work and will work just as well. You know, a shared Google Doc and a calendar.
Yeah, that was the approach I took during my dating life, which actually turned out not to be true.
You needed a shiny object for that, shiny app.
Yeah, the most unsexy stuff didn't work.
Didn't work.
It's okay. It all worked out.
Don't get distracted, right? I mean, the point is, and then staying with the system is absolutely, you've got to pick a system and try it for a while and see how it works. That's why I love the calendar. It's like, if you're already using a calendar to stay organized, here's just something else. You're already checking it every day, you know, and using it to help manage your life coming and going. And so here's another way you can utilize something you're already using to have a better life. And the context switching, getting back to that point, Matt, you know, context switching, reading emails, you know, and getting distracted by other stuff, you know, while you're trying to do some work, is a real problem. And now, of course, there's all kinds of studies like, yeah, it actually really, really does slow you down. And so it's so counterintuitive. When I look at my calendar, I told you 2 or 3 big tasks every day. You know, maybe a couple of meetings and one big, you know, diving into one big project. Just 2 or 3 is all you need. It's all you can handle. And you're going to make so much progress, you know. And the benefit is by having the little breaks where you're knocking out 2-minute tasks, you're getting up and moving around, you feel really great by the end of the day. It's similar to the big rocks, like just tackle the 3 big things and you'll feel great. It's the same idea. Like by really focusing on a couple of efforts, giving it your all, doing a great job on them, you just end the day feeling great and you will make a lot of progress throughout the week.
Right. It's another way of saying you don't want to half-ass a whole bunch of stuff. You want to use your whole ass on one thing. You know, it does remind me there's a cheekier version of my, well, it's not really mine. It's Mike Myers, one job at a time, every job a success, which is I had a colleague in Congress who had a sign behind his desk that said, I can only make one person happy per day. Today is not your day. Tomorrow's not looking good either. And it kind of connects to an idea you suggested to me, which is don't let your schedule drive you. Put yourself in the driver's seat. You know, choose, be more strategic about how you're going to plan out and use your time, which is, I think, another benefit of the calendar system. I think it gets you into more of that mindset.
Absolutely. The thing that's nice about the visual representation as well of the calendar is suddenly you realize how many things you're doing or you've committed to do because you've had to put them now into the calendar when you're going to do it. And then you might realize, geez, I don't want to wait 2 to 3 weeks to get to this thing, even though that's the next free slot on my calendar. And it helps you reevaluate. Are all these things really that important? Like, really, should I be doing this? And also the thing that may have said on this show or not, which is, you know, when you get asked to do something, our default's like, oh yeah, I like that opportunity. You know, okay, yes, I will do that. And you say yes to things. So the question is, if you can see when you have to do it, and it's 3 weeks from now, and you're saying no to other stuff in the meantime, and or the other way of flipping it around is before you say yes to something, if you had to do it tomorrow, would you still say yes?
I want to put it's not like a full parking lot, but like a little bit of I want to put the rampway on the idea of saying no to things, because it is going to connect to your idea that I hate at the end. But I do somewhat endorse the idea of, back to the time management class that I took, don't let things into your system, right? Like if you don't want to deal with them, you know, say no at the door. I have decided, for example, that the kindest thing I can do if I get a solicitation on the phone, or because so many of those are spam blocked these days, if I get a nice young person knocking at the door and asking for, you know, clean water, Massachusetts or whatever, it's the nicest thing I can do and the most respectful thing I can do to say, not interested, have a great day, you know, close the door. Why waste their time or mine? The more you can push out, the better, right? Like drive your schedule. Don't let it drive you.
Correct. So that way, you know, by again, having it on the calendar, you could see what's important to you, what you should be doing. You could focus on it. And when the new tasks come in and you're thinking, should I say yes or no to this? It helps you think about, geez, I'm already really busy. I can see how busy I am. Do I really want to do this? Does it really fit into my priorities? And then getting back to the context switching, like you were just saying, don't let stuff in, focus, you know, be in control of what you're doing. By having it on the calendar, I find it's way better to say, oh, great, I have 3 things to do today. And it helps me to really focus in, especially for those blocks.
What do you do when, maybe this is like me projecting my own problems, but I do a lot of creative work, right? I'm writing, I'm creating podcasts, I'm creating videos. So, you know, when I'm doing like my consulting life, I have tasks that are pretty straightforward. There's a lot of spreadsheets, there's a lot of meetings, there's a lot, you know, it's a very linear thing. It's like, I just kind of plug myself in. It's like when I'm working out, it's much easier to get on the elliptical machine. I just plug myself on, you know, turn on a game. I go for 45 minutes. It's kind of mentally easier. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder when I'm lifting weights because each set I got to get myself mentally up for, this is going to hurt. I feel the same way sometimes about creative tasks. Like sometimes it's great, you know, lightning strikes and I get into a flow state and I'm just like, oh, yep. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to do this. It's amazing, right? Like yep. I wrote a whole Newsweek article in 90 minutes. Like at my daughter's basketball practice last year. And I'm like, this was incredible. This never freaking happened. So what keeps happening to me is I have a creative project and it's not happening and I don't feel it, but this is the calendar block. This is the time that I set aside for this. And I have other things coming on the calendar block later. So now I'm starting to stress about this. How do you manage that?
So when it comes to creative pursuits, there's a couple things. One is to recognize that the creativity, you need space for the creativity. This is really lost because we're in this society of like calendars and time blocking and scheduling. And I got
all the things
done.
You're telling us to
all
do.
The things, all the things
you
I'm telling
are
you
the
to
problem,
do.
Mike Morton.
Except when it comes to creativity, you can still time block. But the thing to recognize is for creativity, you've got to allow time and space for it. And if you are a creative, say, all right, let's take it to an example, you know, you're an artist and you're creating artwork. And
this is what
new.
I'm thinking of. I'm right. thinking so of our friend, yeah. Robin Mandel, who's an amazing art professor at the University of Massachusetts. And we just saw this incredible installation of his. We should get him on the show. How does he do this?
Should ask him how he does it.
Let's ask him how he does it. Go on. You were saying. So let's say you're Robin.
Let's say I'm Robin. You know, understanding that you need time and space for that stuff. And you could still schedule it and you should schedule it, but it's not a to-do item, a task like, oh, I'm going to write this, you know, 1,000-word thing in this 90 minutes. It's I'm going to take a break from productive, quote unquote, work, you know, sitting here putting, you know, paint to canvas because I'm just trying to come up with like where to go next. And so you go outside, you journal, you do all kinds of things that you can go for your elliptical, you know, and don't put the game on. No earbuds, no external noise, just you and your thoughts. You can go for a long walk. It's fantastic for this. You have to do it for more than 15 minutes. Okay, so 15 minutes isn't going to count. It's going to take that long to get into the creative state. No podcasts, no music, okay, only you. And what you'll find is after about an hour, you know, longer than 15 minutes, that's when things will start connecting for you. And you will come back to your desk fully energized, be like, oh man, I had like 3 great ideas. And you're going to jot them down and they might be great. They might not be, but you've got to take time. You know, if you're in a creative pursuit, I would say you chunk your day into like, hey, a few hours of getting stuff done. I got emails, I got coordination, I got to write some things or whatever. And a few hours of a creative pursuit. I'm out in nature. I'm going for a walk. I'm having coffee with a great friend that stimulates me. Things like that, that will help you make progress on your creative pursuit. So for instance, this podcast, right? We come up with ideas and a lot of it's kind of easy to come up with, but I come up with a ton of these ideas when I'm out for my longer runs. And then I'm jotting notes down for the future of like future episodes, you know, kind of throughout that process. So it's not on the calendar yet, you know, until I have something concrete for me to like chug through.
I'll give you my trick for it. And then I really want to get to your one thing. What I try to do, sometimes it works, like exercises are very helpful, like prime, but sometimes if I'm trying to prime the pump and it's like, look, I got to get this done. You know, like for one thing, I recognize if I'm on a heater, I stay on it. So I blow up the calendar. It's like, I've got something. I've literally been on in the middle of a workout, like on the bike. And I'm like, hold on. I've got too good of an idea. I stop and I just dictate out everything that I've got going. All right, that's one thing. But the other thing I'll sometimes do is if I can't just step back and wait for creative inspiration to strike, I will start with a piece of the, I literally will kind, well, it's not literally, it's figuratively, but I will try to prime the pump. I'll try and break off a piece of the task. Let's say I'm writing an article and I'll say like, okay, here's one thread in this. And I'll start researching that. I'll start really outlining that piece. And I'll see if I can get like a trickle going and then kind of nurse that along.
And I'll say this too, actually, you know, back to the podcast. Like I was struggling for a while on like, oh, what are we going to do today? Like that I'm sitting down, I have to start writing. what are we going to record, you know? And I realized that was really stressing me out and annoying me, and I couldn't come up with like great ideas. And so that's when I kind of flipped it around. When I have a great idea, like your example, be on the elliptical or doing a workout, suddenly have a great idea, I do the exact same thing. I jot down a note or two, and then I put it into a system, you know, where I can keep track of it. So that way I'm harnessing the creativity time into concrete tasks that are going to come in the near future.
I also try when I get one of those and I think like, oh, this is a great idea, I then sit on it for 24 hours because sometimes the next day it doesn't feel like such a great idea.
Not so much.
Speaking of things that I'm not sure is such a great idea, let's get to one thing. You have a radical hack that you want to suggest.
Yeah. Stop checking your email so much, Matt.
No, no. I'm tapping the vein in the crook of my elbow right now. Give me more.
So here was the thing. I was reading Michael Easter's book, The Scarcity Brain. He's talking about the scarcity loop, which we all know from social media. So easily repeatable. You can check right away. Variable results. You don't know if there's going to be something good or not. But there's definitely going to be a reward. There will be something. You just don't know how good it is.
Yeah, this is intermittent reward. This is like Pavlov and the frickin' pigeons.
Yeah, and it's a great book, The Scarcity Brain. Michael Easter, fantastic read. And I was like, first I was congratulating myself. I'm not really on social media. You know, I don't really have this problem. And I realized email is my social media, right? It's you always get a reward, but you don't know what it's going to be. And then you can check it, you know, all day long and see what's coming. And so then here's what I did. I paused my inbox, Matt. So I just check email 2 to 3 times a day, and that's it. Now, work email is a little separate from personal email, and you can kind of pick and choose. But this is the way that I do it, is that I use Gmail. There's an app called Boomerang, which does a lot of different things. But for the free version, it can pause your inbox. So you log into your Gmail, you get the extension, Boomerang extension, you press pause, and no new emails will show up in your inbox while it's paused. And this is fantastic because it takes away, of course, I'm still jittery, like, ooh, after doing some deep work, you know, for an hour or two, I'm like, oh, I gotta check my email. And it's like, nope, it puts enough friction, you know, between me and the email. There's not gonna be anything there if I just go and look at the inbox. And the other great part about pausing, I'll say, Matt, is when I'm out and about and my phone, right? You go like pull out the phone, I'm standing in line, I'm going to check something. There's no email there because the inbox is paused.
Maybe I reluctantly concede that this isn't a terrible idea. I don't know.
So good. It's,
what you're basically saying is you're locking up your stash, man. Like, or you know what this is? You know what this really is? Are you a fan of Frog and Toad? Did you read Frog and Toad?
Frog and Toad, to your kids? Yeah, of course.
You remember the best story? Cookies, right? They bake the cookies and they're trying to stop. They can't stop. And right. So they put the cookies in a box. And Toad says, but we can open the box. So they tie it up in string, but we can untie the string and open the box. They put it up on a high shelf. Well, we can go up on the ladder, take it down, untie the string, open the box, and eat the cookies. And finally, they take everything out, and Frog throws the cookies out to the birds. And he says, look, now we have a lot of willpower. And Toad says, you can keep it all. I'm going to go bake a cake. So I like what you're saying. I like what you're saying. It's probably a good freaking idea. Damn it, Mike.
I know. It's terrible. Interesting. So, yeah. Matt, you just got to try it, man. You got to try it and see how it feels. At first, it's weird. And like I go back and forth. Sometimes I break into the jar, you know, but it's enough friction and it really does. The brain is very interesting and it really does help you focus, you know, by taking away the cookie jar, you know, off of your desk. And putting it like all the way in the next house. It's like, okay, you know, all right, I'll keep working for another 30 minutes. Let me really get this thing done. You know, let me not get out of the zone. Yeah.
All right. Reluctantly conceded. Good idea. Let's leave it there. For Mike Morton, Matt Robeson, we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.